Israel. We need jobs for these young professionals to come to Akinon, and we've got to encourage and have a mindset that we're going to attract jobs. We're going to work on economic development. It doesn't have to cost money. It has to be a mindset of looking at it and saying that's the goal we want. And I participated in the city strategic planning session the other day, and the main reason I did it was because I thought, if I'm going to gripe, I've got to go participate. Well, it was a fabulous session. It really was. I mean, viewpoints from all around the room were done in an orderly manner, and I hope something good comes from it. But I'm not sure that the business community has really been represented. There were some business people in there, but I'd really like to see us reach. I'd like city council to reach out to us instead of us coming and reaching out to you all. Getting up on what I call the squawk box is not really effective. You don't have two-way conversation. I think we need some two-way conversation. And we just need an attitude that Aiken's going to be a great business city. We're going to bring jobs here, and we're going to do what it takes so that, you know, when more businesses come here, I do more business. So that's my main concern, and I'm happy to see this many people here because, you know, the chamber does a lot of good things. The city does good things. We all try and do good things, but some of them butt heads with each other, and we all just have to work together and really have that mindset that, yes, we are going to do this. It is not acceptable to me to say, in 10 years, Aiken may not be thriving. I've put 20 years into my business. I'm not going to say, okay, 10 years from now, I may as well just close doors. I want to say it's going to grow. And it's Aiken can do it. We can set the tone for the whole state if we just sit down and say that's our mindset. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. One more? Todd?
Good morning.
My name's Todd Stilp. I moved to Aiken, I think it was in 68. My father was with Kimley-Clark Corporation at that point in time. One thing I'll mention is, you know, my definition of a small businessman is someone who has to look at his employees every Friday and make sure their checks are good. So making a payroll every week, and I've been doing it for over 30 years, and it's been hard at times. One thing I'll just come down with my dealings with the city, I think I've dealt with probably the majority of the branches' issues at one time or another, and it's 99% of it's all been positive. I think if I had one complaint, it would be to have more people have the guts to make decisions, make a common sense decision. I can remember coming in here years ago and had to deal with Roland Windham. And it was an issue. Some things were billed, and he got out from behind his desk, came over and sat next to me, and actually we sat there, looked at the piece of paper, and we talked and discussed it. And then he got back up, walked back, got sat at his desk, and made a good decision. I mean, he took the policy procedure, put it aside, and made a decision, made a note, and forwarded on. I mean, the point being is he made a decision, and he wasn't scared to make it. He had to go. Great policy and procedure, but he made a good common sense decision that was fair to me and it was fair to the city. And, you know, I heard the thing about the noise ordinance with Steve over at Rose Hill. You know, I have to deal with that in a lobster race. You know, we used to play music to 2 o'clock originally on Friday nights, and then it got cut back to, I think it was around midnight, and then it got cut back to 11. It's very, very cumbersome. And it's only one night a year. Now, yes, there could be 50 other people that want to have a party and want to go, but at some point in time, it makes some common sense. You know, Steve's situation, you know, maybe have, you know, eight nights out of the year. But once again, someone's got to sit there and break policy and procedure and make a decision. Another thing, in me being in the landscape business, I can remember years ago dealing with Brian Woodard. Landscape tree ordinance said you had to have this, and this. A plan was made out following all the criteria. I called up Brian on his cell phone, and I said, Brian, this plan calls for 25 plants. There's only room for about 8 at best. He said, "Well, Todd, is that you know, in your professional opinion, is that what you think?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, go ahead, make the changes, only put 8 in, and just bring me a copy of that plan, and I'll approve it." It was that simple. He made a decision, wasn't scared to. And I've had other people in the city over the past, you know, 15, 20 years say, "Well, if I make that decision and I break policy with you, I'm setting precedence. And then someone else is going to try it." Well, if you qualify that decision-making process and put the other facts that were there, yeah, you made precedence. So the next time, if someone has that same criteria, we might make the decision for him too. So I guess maybe just that 1% sometimes dealing with the city could have been a little friendlier and a little more understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Tom.
Anyone else? Okay. Councilman.
I'd like to thank everybody that came, and it was very informative. One of the things I just want to iterate, somebody mentioned that there's not enough business representation on our commissions and boards. I encourage people to make their intentions known to their representatives, because I'm always in a hunt for people that I would like to appoint to boards, and I just really don't have a vehicle, you know, so please let us know. The second thing is, you know, you can't do anything almost immediately, and like Liz said, you know, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Councilman Dewar, and I'm going to support him on this, we're going to go to a zero-based budgeting review come fall. And take a bow. Anyway, one of the things that it will show is, you know, where our revenue is, where we can actually cut. And in the process of looking at the functions that the government provides, we'll identify some of the more onerous rules or regulations that may be superfluous. So in the process of looking at the budget, we may actually look at some of the rules and regulations that we have, and we may decide to get rid of some of those. That's basically all I said. And thank you for coming and sharing your ideas.
Any other comments, Council?
We're going to have some type of path forward. Several people have mentioned that, so I assume that's
right,
coming forth.
Right. Let's talk about that a moment. It seems like there are a lot of comments about focus groups or task groups, however you want to say it. We can't, obviously, we can't put all this together here in 5-10 more minutes, but what I might suggest is, first of all, make sure everybody signs the list, please, so that we have everybody's name and a phone number or email or something, so that we can get back in touch. And why don't we let our staff and us talk about how we go about organizing focus groups. You know, are there going to, how many focus groups are going to have? There are a lot of questions, I think, about organizing a focus group. This is one place to start. Now, ultimately, I think we've got to decide on whether we want a committee where these focus groups come back to a committee, which are assigned with appropriate business folks and from appropriate groups. All the groups, however many groups. There's a lot of questions up in the air, I think, about how we organize this. What we could do is schedule another meeting, and we could get the word out to you after the staff and council has a chance to think about this a little bit more and organize focus groups. We've got to start somehow. And I think we need some time now to absorb everything we've heard and also establish an organization, if you will, of how we go about doing this. Certainly we want to include everybody, all the various businesses, types of businesses. I think certainly the Chamber's had some experience at organizing focus groups. We could certainly learn from how you went about it, David and Liz, and just learn more about your approach there, and perhaps Liz, with your help, you're in the business. So I'm certainly open. I'm just speaking, you know, as a person here. If others have ideas on how we get started, how we do it, then that's fine.
I think it should be with Katie Lipscomb, actually.
That's fine.
That's why we're not here because of the chamber. We're here because Katie started.
We could certainly have representatives. I mean, if we have a focus group, obviously we're going to have all kinds of representatives. All I'm saying is the method that the chamber has used, Didi, I'm not saying that the chamber would take over at all. I'm saying they've done these kind of things before. And if we can learn the procedures and how best to go about doing this.
Have you been doing focus groups already with Richard Pierce? So there's a way for the city to...
We on our strategic plan.
And so the city has expertise in focus groups itself, so...
You're getting it wrong, what I said. Maybe we can learn procedures. I didn't say go to them and have them do it. Now, if already you're putting restrictions on how we might go about forming a way of doing things and organizing, now that maybe is not the right thing to do. That's fine. And if you want to take responsibility for getting everybody involved, is that what you're saying?
I just think the discussion needs to be back with the group that volunteered today. And I think the discussion needs to start first with Katie Lipscomb, and we will get with Katie.
Okay. All right. But a lot of people have come together today because of this.
I think she said she wants to speak for herself.
Yeah.
Katie,
come on up here and speak.
Mr. Mayor,
this will help us all understand, I think, how we need to help get this thing going.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, as Katie's coming up, there were 17 different people that spoke today, and I think that we've got their names and stuff, and they ought to be part of organizing the focus group.
I mean,
that's where the information's coming from.
Well, that would
and,
be
great. Do it by email, and you got 17 of them, and you know we can include the council members as Mr. Wells also on that, but we've had a number of people speak that obviously have a high level of interest today.
That's right, and I think everybody has a high level of interest, even if they didn't speak, but especially those that did speak. I agree. Katie?
Okay, just to give you a little bit of history real quick, and I'm going to be really quick. I don't know what the answer is. I think you all need to get together, talk to some of the strategic people, and I don't think we're going to answer that today. But I think y'all have smiles on your face now, and ideas of things you can talk about, so that's great. But as far as the chamber's concerned, yes, they are a for-profit organization or whatever. They do a whole lot that's good for business. I'm not saying they're inclusive of everything, but they definitely do a lot of good. And they need to be included in the process. And we don't need to be overlapping things that the chamber does well. We don't need a chamber committee. We don't need a city committee. We don't need a county committee. We need to all be working together. So, you know, whoever leads it, it doesn't need to be us who leads it. We want to see y'all's attitude change, and y'all want to lead it. And come to us and pull us all together and make it work. It shouldn't, you know, it's the chicken and the egg. Does the chamber the council pull us together, or do the businesses pull the council together? That's the question that needs to be answered. So.
Okay. I started off by saying,
Katie,
you know, that,
let me ask you this. If we were to have a facilitator and have, say, four different focus groups that were different business people from different sides of town mixed in together, maybe with 25 in each focus group. The facilitator holds the meeting. He takes the ideas. He puts them together. Does that from all four meetings of different business people. And then if we had just a... just like a task force that maybe was a member from the Business Alliance, maybe one from the Chamber, one that was just a regular business person. Four people that brought those ideas to them, and then they organize and bring it back to City Council. Is that what we're looking for?
I think that's a great idea.
I would like to see minority businesses represented.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, my idea for this was, you know, each council person goes out and talks to five people and brings them together. Well, I recognize most of the people in here, and it's very hard to get people involved, or they think that if they come that nothing's going to happen. But if city council goes out and reaches out to those businesses, they are much more likely to show up than if Katie Luxton sends an email and they go, oh Lord, here she goes again. So, I mean, y'all have got to reach out and lead that effort.
Mr. Mayor, if you allow me, Katie, I want to thank you on several fronts. One, for your heart of compassion. But also your heart of inclusiveness. I listened to David Jamison, and David said that there were 1,000 members of the chamber. 900 are small business. We've got roughly 25, we had 25 business people here. There's a lot of people missing, a lot of concerns. Those people are out there working right now while we're here discussing the issues. So we want to make sure that we include them, include their concerns. You know, why are they not here? What's happening? What are their concerns? So thank you, one, for the vision to do this and for wanting to pull us together, and secondly, for your caring. It's a genuine care about the city and the people here. Thank you.
Mayor.
Yes.
This is not that difficult. We do not have a layer of this community, that community. You guys are meowing to the dogs right now. What we're saying is, if we have to come to you, we will come to you with our plan. We do not want to be marginalized through another committee, another ad hoc, another here. That's not who we are. We are people who get things done, and that's what we want to do. We want to communicate with you. That is what this is about. We do not want to form 10 different committees.
I don't think it's hard either. I don't think anyone here is trying to make this difficult. We want to see you prosper. Why in this world would we even be serving on city council if we didn't care about our city and want it to grow and to help the businesses? We want to do that. There are certain things we will not be able to do, I'm sure. There are certain things we can do. And that's, we've got to find out what those things are. But now, I think Reggie had an idea. We're trying to get this thing organized so that we can have a next meeting. Let's put it that way. I think he had a good idea. There are 16 or 70 people that spoke. We could pull them together.
I agree that our first meeting, when I spoke to you at the council, when I went up to you, you said, me, you, not the chamber, not the media, just us, we're going to talk. I called you and asked you about it. You did not call me back. We are being marginalized through committees, and this is not what we're here about at all.
I called you back. Your cell phone wouldn't take another message. I'm sorry.
Okay, and probably that's true. 8:30 in the morning, how many business owners did you guys expect to show up?
Hey, it wasn't our idea to have it at 8:30 in the morning. Let's get the facts straight now.
See, how many people are coming business owners? My office right now is already hours behind. So how many business owners are coming to that deal for us today? I'll tell you about it later, but you've got restaurants who can't come at night.
Right.
Absolutely.
But one thing, you know, I haven't heard back, and I think Katie maybe was alluding to this. And Katie and I, the reason I said let's start with Katie is because I'm glad that the chamber's here, but they didn't instigate this. Why haven't they been doing this with you guys? This is what I don't understand. We started. They're here on our coattails today. I hope they're taking notes, because I'm not a member of the chamber. I'll be happy to tell David Jamison later why. And that this isn't a forum for that, but I'm not a member of the chamber. But what I would like to hear back is, we've all been here for an hour and a half talking. What action items do you have now, after an hour and a half? What are you going to be looking at?
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to determine here. Do we need, you don't need another meeting? We don't need another meeting? We don't need a focus group? You tell us how it ought to go then, if you want to.
I don't like levels of bureaucracy. I think it's a way to keep things from getting done. I think you've heard a lot of things today from constituents, okay?
and from those who basically we provide half of your budget. So my question is, what did you hear today that you like that you can go work on? Was it a business license? For me, I mean, David, you may disagree, but I think the most important thing to bring to them is tax reform. Now, we can argue if that's the federal level, the state level. There's a reason Bill Gates is in Washington State. If you don't know, look it up. There's a reason people, businesses are in Texas, and there's a reason businesses are in Florida. That's the state level. But what can we do here at the city level? Did you hear anything that you could look at from a tax reform perspective? Did you hear anything you could look at from a planning perspective? We all intend to get together as a group and discuss what you heard today.
I want to answer you on that, Dee, because I think it goes to where I am, and that is that I did hear some things that I feel like we as a council need to get together and work on. One of them has to do with tax returns. That does rub me a little funny here, but I think there are a few things that I heard today that we as a council should sit down and talk about, not in this particular forum, but we just need to, as a governing body, sit and talk about a few things that I heard today. But I wanted to know about the path forward, because I think I wanted to bring closure to this meeting, so possibly set up the next step. And I do think that as a member of council, I heard some things that I would like to talk to just council about before going forward with plans for what we want to do with small businesses and where we want to put them. I just really feel the need to share personal experiences and talk about some things.
I totally agree, and I think we mentioned that, all of us, we need to absorb this now and talk about some of these things. Many of these things are new to us, I think, and some of them are old. But at some point, we need to be able to get back to a group, a smaller group. It could be the same group that started it. It could be these who spoke. Somehow, we have to be able to get back. And I don't know that there's got to be another meeting to talk in further on some of these ideas once we absorb and understand and discuss some of the things that we think we can do. So just to say that we don't need any more meetings, you know, I'm sorry. We've got to be able to talk about these things, and we want your input. Yes, Jean Page.
I have a suggestion. I think I watching you all, saw individual council persons come up with specific areas they felt and passionate about. Councilwoman Price brought up the ordinances numerous times today. I know that Councilman Homoki and Councilman Dewar both brought up the economic budgetary issues. Councilwoman Clyburn had a good point about some of the procedural aspects, as well, I think Councilman Ebner was chiming in about that too, as well did Councilman Bell. So it seems like there are three avenues that you all as council members can take. One, investigate ordinances for the next 2 weeks. One, investigate budgetary concerns in the small business license elimination. And the other one, procedures. And if you all take your three little ideas that each one of you seem to be expressing, go to business people that you trust, whose advice you seek counsel from regularly, and talk to them, get some of their input. Come back in 2 weeks with a work session and share what you all have learned and what action items you're comfortable with proceeding with, and then let us know when we can give you additional input at that time. I think that is a good action forward. You all are taking responsibility for going forward and changing or at least investigating some of the concerns you've heard today. And it seems like there were some passions and concerns that you all expressed.
Thank you for that. I think that's a good idea. I have no problem with that.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I got a lot of school board meetings. And I used to, before I got into construction, I was a teacher. And I got a lot of school board meetings and reading the paper, and I read a lot of things about education because I'm really interested in it. And every time I go to a school board meeting, it's always, we got to have a new program, we got to do this, we got to have a committee for this. We got to have more funding and all this. And when I talk to students, one thing I want is, if I could add, just give me more freedom. Let me teach. Let the teachers teach. And that's the same thing we want. We just want the businesses to be free. We want the freedom to do what we do. We don't need a lot of committees telling us what to do and how to do it. Just let us do what we're here to do. I've tried to explain to a teacher why. Every time in education, it's something from the government or something from some special interest group. Just let the teachers get in the classroom and teach. Just like we want. Just let us do business. Just let us. Let us do what we do best. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've had a couple of very productive hours listening to small business, and I appreciate their coming here. Whether they like it or not, the onus is on us, and whether we like it or not, the onus is on us. So I hope you'll understand and not be critical when I say we, the council, need to huddle up and digest what you've told us. Look at the minutes of some of us may not have taken as many notes as others, but we need to be afforded the time to study what you've said. Jane Page's suggestion of perhaps dividing it on three fronts might be a good one. But we need to get our act together. We need to decide what we're going to do. I hear the idea that there aren't too many votes in favor of another committee or another commission, and that the council should stay directly involved. But I really think that we need to have a work session before the next council. We need to get the minutes. I would prefer to have them before the time that we normally get them, because there's a lot to digest. If we could get them this week or early next week, I think that would be fine. But amongst ourselves, we need to try to come up with a game plan. I think the business folks have let us know that they have some concerns, some of which can be addressed and some of which can't. But at least we owe everyone the opportunity to have a discussion. But the onus, I think, is on us at this point.
Absolutely.
They've done their job, and we need to now determine how we're going to respond, what we can do to satisfy their concerns.
Okay, we will do that. We will get together. We will also send out a notice when we are ready to be able to meet again. Anything else?
Well, again, just so we don't end at this point, does council want to have this on the agenda at the next meeting, either in a work session or have this as one of the agenda items at the very end of the agenda? I'll give you two points of view on this. If you have it before as a work session item, and let's say we start at 6, well, if you're really getting into discussion, you have to end at 7 so that other people are coming for regular agenda items. You may want to have this at the very end of the agenda, so you want to talk for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or however long. But do you want this on the next agenda, or do you want to think about it longer and then have it at a later agenda?
I'd like to see it as a special work session, and this is the only subject we're talking about.
Okay.
Not having to go late. If you don't know what the agenda is going to be, you could end up, if we can focus just on this subject in a special work session, that would be my.
Yeah. That was what I was trying to suggest, and I think people need to recognize by law we can't meet without inviting the community. We just can't as a group meet and with only a segmented part of the community. By law, when we meet, the entire public is invited. It has to be posted. It might upset some, but that's the way the law is. Mm-hmm. So even if we have a work session, it would be open to the public to attend.
And again, I think for the fairness of those that are here present tonight or this morning, I always think we always have night meetings. If we could set a date or a tentative date, it'd be great to do it now than instead of waiting. Typically, the Mondays you have scheduled, anyways, the 21st or the week after our next council meeting is an open Monday. We could have it that night, or if you want to pick another night. But if we could pick a date today, it would be, I think, helpful for everybody. Also, at least you know we're going to meet at 6 or 7 or whatever time it's going to be specifically. Does the 21st, that's an open Monday. That's the third Monday of the month.
That's fine with me.
Anybody have a problem with that?
Calendar.
I know some of you don't have your calendar, but does that seem like a reasonable time?
And what time would you talk
that's
about?
That's fine.
We can meet at 5, 6, 7. Again, whatever best time for business is to what time we meet.
Katie, since they keep pointing to you, 5, 6, 7, 8?
It's a Monday night.
Yeah.
There's no swim meet on Monday night.
6:30 is a good time.
So keep in mind that it's the Monday before the runoff primary, so going too late might put an onerous on poll watchers the next morning. Mm-hmm.
5:30.
6:30.
What are we hearing?
So she wants to say 6:30.
6:30.
Would be a good time because it's so many businesses, you know, they close. Lots of small businesses close at 6, and that gives them travel time to get here.
Sure.
On time.
6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 6:30.
In the meantime, Roger, you said there's an email address where. It might be good if people had an email address and they could send their ideas. Not their bribes, but their ideas to you all at input.
And again, the address is aiken.net. And it just as a general comment page there, if on the subject line, because they'll give a subject line then, if you want to say small business issue, and then we'll go ahead and get those and we could send those on to City Council.
They don't have individual addresses.
Yeah, it doesn't go to anybody specifically. It'll just go to our webmaster, and then he'll send it to me. But just put small business issue under the subject, and then we can send it on. And does council want to have an agenda set up for that night, or just kind of an open forum for you all?
I think we have, and I took some notes as well as some of the others, but there's three or four things that do jump out, and I think we ought to have maybe not a sentence about them, but just a one word, four or five one word topics.
What was stated over and over and over again, and I'll get away from the financial end because that may take a while to delve into, but when you start looking at what I consider planning issues, whether it be on signs or trees or parking or traffic or zoning or landscaping, things that in the county many of them are not dealing with. When council has taken these up over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you bring up one issue at a time, and at the time the issue is important, there's a lot of insight, a lot of pressure from different groups, mm-hmm. and we develop an ordinance, and as you accumulate all these ordinances together, whether that be on tourism, you know, the number of tours we have. Again, we spent months and months and months going over that. Or like the one the Planning Commission is looking at now with trees. I mean, we've probably passed a dozen ordinances on trees over the years. But again, as you kind of accumulate these all together, on the one hand, the balance is we want a certain city to be in a certain way. On the other hand, each one of those layers does add more difficulty with businesses. Mm-hmm. I know Beverly has just recently opened up a small business, and we've had several discussions just on that alone, on trees and other issues that they're on the books. And either we go ahead and we follow what's on the books, or we don't follow it. And so we need guidance from you. We could talk about all these different planning issues that could take weeks and months, but several changes could be made just on that alone if council wanted to.
And just as a side issue, I'm not happy that our email addresses are not listed on the city website. I've asked about it several times, and I'm told it's a spam issue and so forth. I still wish we'd look at it because other cities have found a way to do it, and I think our email addresses. We need to find a way to get them on the.
I mean, we could do that. If every council member wants their email address listed, we could do that.
Yeah.
But you'll get a bunch of other stuff. But that's up to
I
council.
I have to turn my computer in. I got to see the
well,
I'm with the field.
We there's no way of putting a spam filter in?
You can, but it doesn't cut out all the stuff. Again, once that list gets posted, it goes out to the universe. But if council wants that, that's no problem, Dick.
I'll find a separate address for you
okay.
that I can monitor.
Let us thank everyone again for being here. We appreciate it. I think despite your feelings sometimes we don't understand, I think we do understand a great deal. And we're certainly willing to work and see what we can do better together. But we do need a positive attitude, a can-do attitude going forward. So let's all work on that as well. Okay, we are adjourned.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a meeting and of a small business and others who may be here. We appreciate you being here. And I know that many of you, most of you, probably on a real tight schedule, so we'll try to get started real quickly. We're glad to see everyone here, and Beverly will be here. She's on her way. Not sure about Don. But over the months, we all know that we've had different suggestions about what we could possibly do with small businesses and to help them. We know that everyone needs help with the economy the way it is. And so this is really the first time, and we thank those who suggested us getting together like this, Katie and others, so that we could talk about this and plan a path forward that would be permanent, whatever it may be. So, again, we appreciate the opportunity. We'll have a mic, and I'm sorry that we're a distance away. We weren't sure how many people would be here, and so we set it up this way, and at least when you want to speak, and of course, everybody will have the opportunity, just come up to the mic, you know, and give us your name, and that's all you have to do, and then we'll have it all recorded. And then that'll give us so that we don't miss anything, as we normally do in our council meeting. So, again, I appreciate everyone being here. It's a good crowd. And Roger will go over these again to get us started, but hopefully most of you have seen the agenda with the three proposed ways that we could go to either have a committee or whatever. There are three different methods, and I know some of you have seen that. Others haven't, but again, we'll go over them this morning. And so without further ado, Roger, would you like to take it from here?
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of weeks ago, I met with Beth Nicholson and Katie Liscomb, and we talked about having this meeting today so that we could determine, is there some way that the city of Aiken could help the businesses within our city to become more successful? And we decided to have a meeting at 8:30 to approximately 10 o'clock today so that we could go ahead and at least start this discussion. I don't think in any way that we'll be able to complete and come up with any definite solutions today just because of the time frame and because of the number of people that are here. The three items that we discussed to start off on the agenda, to start talking, and then to see where we want to go from here were, should the city develop a small business committee similar to the arts committee, which the city formed up a few years ago, which would encompass different types and sizes of small businesses representing various areas of the city, or should we have an ad hoc group like the equine community developed? The arts committee has a representative from each of the various council members, so there's seven members on the arts committee. The equine committee is a group that's at large, and they meet on an irregular basis, and they give information and advice back to city council. They both are advisory groups that give input back to city council at some point in time. So those are the two types of groups that could possibly be formed up. And to determine which way to go, council could go ahead and begin by developing a task force. Again, it's a group of 7 to 10 people that would start discussing the subject, kind of lay out strategically where and what they might want to do, using some type of facilitator or designated chairperson. Number two, could the city or other entity develop a small business districts or area councils? Some of this would be dictated depending on what you do at number one. And then number three, are there ways the city could assist through possible facade grants, shop Aiken advertising first, landscaping, and some other ways? Again, these were just three suggested topics we get started. Again, due to the time frame, council may want to consider around 9:30 to quarter to 10, kind of wrapping this up so that we would then be able to, in the last 15 minutes, half an hour, set type some type of steps forward as to where, how we might want to go. So with that in mind, Mr. Mayor, however you'd like to open the floor for comments.
Okay. Well, I suspect many of you would like to like to speak, when you have comments.
Mr. Mayor.
So why don't we just start there?
Mr. Mayor?
And yes, sir?
Yeah, let me make a comment, if you don't mind, before we get started. I know it's very difficult for the City Council to have a meeting without having an agenda. By definition, we need to tell you what we're going to talk about when we invite you in. But my sense is that the agenda was generally determined at the last council meeting where we had the policy council make their presentation. And while the agenda items might be the ideal way to go, I think we first need to identify the concerns that even cause us to get together today, as opposed to determining whether we want to have a committee or a subcommittee or groups or what have you. Because I don't think we finished that discussion. There's still concern on the part of small business, part of which, in my opinion, can't be satisfactorily addressed, but there still is genuine concern on the part of small business of the business license tax issue, and there may be others, but the business license tax seemed to be the overriding concern that we heard at our last council meeting. So rather than go down the road of deciding whether we want this committee or that committee, I think we ought to hear from the small business folks that were at our council meeting to make sure that whatever we do addresses their concerns.
Well, Dick, I don't think any of us disagree with that, and I assume that we would hear those things when the folks get up to speak. So certainly we need to know what those concerns are, and I think that will lead us to how do we go about organizing so that we can have a way of gathering the concerns and bringing them to City Council.
Okay.
I think what we don't want to continue to do is just have individuals bringing thoughts to us one at a time to different council members. We need some way of doing it, like we have other committees, like the Parks Commission, like the Planning Commission, like others that have a committee. It could be appointed by a council, individuals, or it could be one of these other ways of doing it. But we need a consensus somewhere, a group, like a committee, I think, so that we can have a dialogue. But no, I don't think anyone disagrees with what you're saying, and we've heard many of the concerns, and let's hear them all this morning, given the time we have. And then, as Roger said, we're not going to finish today. We know that. We're not going to resolve any of these three, and we do have an agenda that was sent out to several folks, and they were asked to distribute it. But let's get started. Let's get started over here. We'll go back and come up up this side and say anything you'd like to. Just come on up to the mic, please, and give us your name.
Hi, I'm Debbie Nix. I'm a realtor. My husband and I own Southern Plumbing and Electrical, and I own a vacation rental property also.
Can you move your mic up, Debbie? I'm sorry.
Sure.
There you go. Thank you.
Can everybody hear me? Good morning. Thank you very much for having this meeting. I have a couple of questions. Who decided on the agenda?
This was a discussion I had with Katie and Beth.
Okay.
They came to my office, and these three suggested topics that we developed.
Okay. Who on this commission has ever owned a small business?
I currently do.
Don? Okay. So there's three of you? Okay. Okay. I think that we need to realize that there's a huge difference between a small business person and a bureaucracy. We're dogs and you guys are cats, or vice versa. We're that different in how we think. When we have a problem, we simply roll our sleeves up and we go to work. We don't form a committee. We don't ask everybody's opinion. We do what needs to be done. For me, this was about a conversation with the City Council and with small business people. And I think that maybe the council doesn't understand what we live with on a day-to-day basis, nor what we're facing. Even now, a lot of us are struggling. We're working twice as hard. We don't get a paycheck every week that's promised to us. We don't get health care that's paid for by somebody else. We pay it all. So I just want to say that Right now, the small business people in Aiken, we're by ourselves. The city council left us laying, just twisting in the wind on the tax bond referendum. That would have really hurt small business. So that leaves us out here deciding what we're going to do as a group. And I think maybe this is a time for you guys to listen to us. And from that, then go and decide what it is we want to do so that we can help each other and understand each other. Because just like you don't understand us, we don't understand you. It's Venus and Mars.
Okay. Thank you, Tammy. I hope that we do. That's certainly a reason we wanted to get together, and so we can certainly start understanding better. Perhaps we don't understand. We may never understand totally each other, but I think we can, and I think this is a first good step to starting that good dialogue. So who would like to be next? Speak.
Hey, I'm Dee Dee Vauders. The only thing I wanted to say today, of course, you all know that I'm just fired up about the business license tax, so I'll let other people discuss that. But in looking at y'all, in looking at the budget for the city of Aiken, I just want to make sure that you guys realize and the folks in the audience realize that one half of your budget, your general budget, is on the backs of the folks sitting here and the folks that they represent. So if you're looking at your business license tax, which, Roger, I think you said is a little over $8 million, correct? Okay. If you look at the property tax we pay, if you look at the merchant's tax, and then if you add all those together, you come in close to half of your general budget. So I'm glad that you're taking the opportunity to realize today who actually feeds the city to the largest extent. And a lot of these folks go on and pay for water, city water, and they also pay for trash service. So I think that's the point where we need to start the discussion is, hey, this isn't just a little subcommittee. This is your largest contributor to the city budget.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Yes.
I'm Jack Beckham. I'm sure most of you know me. About 15 years ago, I started building in Aiken County. I lived over in Martinez, and I came over and started building houses over near North Augusta. And one day I rode over to Aiken and looked around, and I saw a subdivision that I thought was pretty nice and hadn't been developed. It had four or five houses in it that were foreclosed. And one of the reasons I looked at the subdivision, the bank had called me and told me they had some lots in there they were foreclosing on, and I might be interested in them. So I came over and looked, and it was a beautiful subdivision, beautiful trees. And so I ended up buying a couple of the lots. And finally, after a few months, I decided to build a couple of houses in there. And right away, they sold. And I talked to one of the bankers in town, and he said, I have about 10 lots out there that I'd like to get rid of, and I'll make you a good deal on them if you want to buy them. So he did, and I bought them. And in about a year, I guess, I had built all the houses and sold them all, and one of the houses had the prettiest lot, the trees on it, and I had built a house on it, and my wife came over one day, and she looked at it, and she said, I hope you don't sell this house, because I want to move in it. So about a year after that, we moved to Aiken, and I finished that subdivision up, and I looked at some land around town that I might want to do a little subdivision in, but I really went down to the city office and talked to some of the folks down there, and I just didn't really get a very good feeling about starting something up. One of the first things they asked me, I can't remember the piece of property I was looking at, but one of the first piece of property I looked at, and I went to the city to talk to them about it, they said, you'll have to have a tree survey. And I thought that was kind of strange. And one of the things I'd like to talk about is when I do business and when IBM does business, big business can afford a lot of surveys and demographic surveys and all kind of things. But when you're a little business guy, you can't spend a lot of money on, you know, every little detail. And I'm not sure how you're supposed to go with this. I don't know whether I need to get bigger and get more money, or maybe I need to go somewhere else. You know, one thing about being a small business guy like myself, I can go anywhere. I mean, and I try to find places that are suitable, that I can work in. I've been some places that I could tell in 10 minutes, I don't want to build there. It's too much trouble, it's too much hassle. And I can go somewhere else and people are a lot nicer. I ended up building mostly, and after I left Aiken building, I hadn't built anything in Aiken in about 10 years probably. But I went to the county and I found it very easy to do business with. Now, I know some people don't live in the county, but I like the county because it's easy to get things done. Now, I don't remember the county asking me for a tree survey. Another thing I like to not only complain about the city, but I mean, it was some good things about the city that I found the building inspectors and the build. Once I got the house, like when I went in this subdivision to build a house, it was no problem because everything was approved. The subdivision was there. All I had to do was go get a building permit and start building. That part was no problem. The problem was to get started. And maybe I was a new person in town. I had no political connections. And I don't know whether that helped or hindered, but it seemed like to me, I'll give you another example. I don't want to call the town name, but a few years ago, I went into a city close around here, and I wanted to build some houses. And I walked into the office, and they had three ladies working in there. And when I walked in, instead of facing me, they were facing the other way. I thought that was kind of strange, but I sort of knocked on the thing, and they turned around. And they really didn't have a smile on their face. They were kind of like, oh, what do you want? And I thought about going into McDonald's, and imagine you walk in there and everybody's faced the other way, you know, and you have to say, I like to get a hamburger, you know. It's just an attitude. And I don't know exactly how you would, I don't want to say Aiken has a bad attitude, but Aiken, the city of Aiken, I don't know exactly how to put that, but they're a little bit too detailed up front. They're too concerned about little things up front. And I get the feeling they don't really trust you, you know. Like, are you going to do what we want? Or are you going to make this place better, or are you going to make it worse? I like to go to a place where they say, we want you to do something, you know. We want your business. And that's basically all I got to say.
Jim, did you say this was 10 years ago when you were building?
Sir?
You said you haven't built in Aiken in 10 years.
I built in the subdivision I live in, where I built about right. 7-8 houses in there.
Yeah.
Within Pickens Place. I don't know whether you know that area or not.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little area, and we enjoy living there. And now the neighborhood, we only have about 25 houses in there.
Right.
But it's a nice neighborhood in the city, and my wife loves it. I like it. And, I'd like to build, you know, I'd like to be part of the city of Aiken. I'd like to do something there, but at my age, I've gotten to the point where I don't want a lot of hassle, you know. I like to do things, but I want to do it without too much, not work. I don't mind working, but I don't want to be aggravated. I don't want to be here, you know. I don't want to do something. I got to convince people that this is great, you know. Too old for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just say, generally, if you, Jed, or anyone else for that matter, has specific concerns, you know, about the way the city is performing or not helping you when you come into the city hall or whatever, we need to know about them as quickly as possible. So that we.
I'd like to see. I'd just like to see the city more open toward. For example, I got a little piece of property over on Greg Avenue that I bought a few years ago. And it's about 2 acres. I had a little house on it that I want to tear down, really. But it's on Greg Avenue, but it's in the city, but everything around it is pretty much the town. And I think it was annexed on because of sewer. And I'd like to bet, I came down a couple years ago and talked to some of the people in the office about it, and I was going to buy the piece of property behind it, which is a couple acres, just about two. Anyway, it came out to 3.89 acres, and the lady that I talked to said, you're going to have to get that rezoned, because in order to do that, what you want to do, you got to have 4 acres. And I thought to myself, now if I try to get that rezoned, the second part of the property was in the county, and I'd have to get that annexed in, and all the people around there, probably county people who are not going, they might not be in favor of it. I'm on the front, I'm in the city, so I don't really have anybody in the, well, I guess now the Calumet Hills is right, pretty much joins onto this property. And I thought to myself, now, by the time I get all this, you know, it's going to be a hassle. And I ain't done anything with the property yet. I'm still sitting there. But it would be a great place for some nice townhouses, you know, which right down the street there are some. And I'd love to do that property, but I don't want to get into a year of negotiation and... So it'd be nice if somebody you could go to and they'd say, you know, I want to work with you, and we want to help you, and I'm going to help you do this thing. But the feeling I got is you go do all the work, and you can come back, and we'll look at it, and if we like it, we'll go, you know, we'll run it through the things. And it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of money to go out there and run a survey and have a building plan and check out the sewer and all this kind of work, and then come back and they say, you know, I really don't like that. So, cost a lot of money to do that for me, but you know, a bigger developer could do it.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Who would like to speak next?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? My name is Beth Nicholson. I publish a women's magazine here in Aiken called Bella. And I'm a small business, like everyone here, most everyone here. And I guess no one's unaware of the financial difficulties that small businesses have had in the United States and, of course, in Aiken. And I have met with many people who are small business people, and we have decided to get together to try to do some things that are proactive to help ourselves and help the community. And when Aiken does well, of course, we all do well. And I don't think that anyone here is... anybody that's entrepreneurial we have a lot in common. And I think it's interesting what Ms. Nick said about the Mars and Venus comment. It is two different worlds, and you know, it's small business and corporate lifestyles are completely different. But I think small businesses have felt like in the recent past that they haven't been supported. And when things get tough, people start getting antsy and they complain more, and you know, because they're stressed. And but I think a lot of small businesses feel victimized by decision makers, and they have never really felt like they're a part of that decision making. So we had the idea that maybe we could create a some sort of a communication device, like the business commission or some sort of a task force or something, so that small business people that were not necessarily connected with the advisory chain that the council now has, like the Chamber of Commerce and the Downtown Development Association, would have a way of communicating. And so we were hoping that there might be a way to develop a system so that small businesses could communicate with council, so that before they voted on something, we there was the big picture was indicated to everyone involved, so that they understood exactly how it affected the small businesses before, instead of having to go fix something after it's been done, you know, maybe have a little more information before something happens. And I appreciate you all coming this morning to talk with us about all this, because I think because of the way the information is distributed, you know, people just, as everyone said, one more ordinance, one more law, one more everything. And it is difficult, you know, when you're struggling and then having one more thing you have to pay for. And it comes off the bottom line for us. And most people, you know, if you have a salary, it's a different scenario. And for us, it's like, oh, well, I've got to pay another $500 this month for trees. Well, that was $500 that was going to go to pay my, you know, living expenses or to pay my employees or anything. So it really is a big deal. So anyway, I hope that we can get something together that is going to be beneficial to everyone, and let the small businesses that have a way to communicate with you all more effectively.
Beth, I just
good. That's why we're here. That's exactly what we want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Beth, I just have a question, please, before you leave. I'm struck with the fact that we could be dealing with two sides of this issue. On the one hand, a problem with an individual business dealing with an individual item with the city. On the other hand, a general item. Do you have specifics of items that the council has done that alienate or turn off small business? I recognize you're making the point that you're different than big business, but are there specific issues that you're concerned with?
Well, sign ordinance, tree laws, parking restrictions, design overlay, having to get your designs approved before you can do the work that you do.
Okay, that's fine.
And there's others.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Do you have to go back to work? Is that
what you're getting?
Can I go?
Sorry. He told me earlier he had to go. So if it's okay with everybody, we'll let Sam go. I didn't know that he wanted.
I didn't know he wanted to go. My name is Sam Erb, and I own the West Side Bowery. And I was going to come today to listen and observe, and but I feel like I should say something. I opened the West Side Bowery in 1981, 30 years ago, and I'd like to think that I'm a pioneer of the alley area. City soon after I opened redid their building, then the alley opened and everything else. Doing business back then in Aiken was a little easier. Not so expensive and so forth, but times change and I understand that. Aiken Downtown Development Association was formed by a group of individuals. It was backed by the city. Aiken Corporation was formed, Aiken 2020. It was a wonderful thing to be in business in downtown Aiken at that time because everybody was putting forth an effort to make Aiken what it is today. And being in my industry, not only the city and the county, but it goes further in the larger government. We really feel that our industry is being picked on with smoking, use of fats, and now salt is coming around. You know, it's almost to a point where leave my industry alone, quit telling me how to run my business. The cost of doing business today compared to 81 is tremendous. It's extra fees, higher taxes, so forth, so on. I'd like to see the city and the community go back where we can work together to make Aiken a viable place to do business. I think there are certain businesses that don't come in the city of Aiken because of certain laws, because they have other businesses outside the city, but they have to pay for those incomes as well. So I'm kind of glad to see this meeting, and I hope something good comes out of it, because I'd like to see our government and community again working together to make it a viable place.
Thank you, Sam. Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that, you know, I'm so thankful that all these business people have shown up, business owners. We are willing to listen to you. I doubt very seriously that we're going to be able to solve any problems that we're experiencing in this meeting this morning. But what we're here to do is open that lines of communication so that if you have a concern, that you will be able to get it directly to council. And so this is, this morning, what we're trying to discuss is not necessarily what are the problems, but we're trying to say to you as a business owner, what way, what line of communication would you like to have to be able to bring every problem that everybody's ever experienced back to city council? So that we can hear and know what's going on in your individual business, something that the city can do in a positive step to help you as a small business person in the city of Aiken. That's what we want to do, is help you. But we've got to have that open line of communication. And we can't just shoot a scattergun. If we can pull these ideas and thoughts together and then bring them back to city council in a manner in which we can act upon it, then we can get something done. And that's what we're trying to discuss this morning, is what lines of communication do we need? What is going to be beneficial to you as a small business person that the city of Aiken can do? You know, I'm a small business person in the city of Aiken and have been for the past 14 years. I know the troubles. I know the struggles that we have. I've been through some of the most difficult days I've ever experienced in my life in the past 2.5 years. I want to work together with the city of Aiken to improve our methods of doing business, reduce my overhead if there's any possible way to do that as well. But we could sit here and talk probably for the next, I could tell you the next, sit here and talk about the next day about all the difficult things and the things in my life that's just not going well here in the city of Aiken. But then I could spend months and years telling you about everything that's going right. So let's focus on some positive things, positive ways that we can help businesses here in the city of Aiken.
Thank you.
Sam, I have a question to ask you before you leave. And many of the comments that have made, I've heard several times from callers. The smoking ordinance has been one, along with the parking and our to abolish the codes that relates to windows and doors. There's all kinds of things that decisions have been made by council, but the calls that I'm getting is saying to undo all these things, that these things are wrong, that they harm business when you start wanting to enforce codes, trees, planting, all those things that we thought were good for the city of Aiken that attracted people here. People are saying now they're bad for people, let's get rid of them. Question to you, Sam, is we created an ordinance to abolish the with the smoking ordinance. Your comment was that it was going to harm your business. Has it harmed your business?
Well, at the time when it went into effect, the recession hit and summer hit and the parking, 2-hour parking hit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, for me to say, pinpoint that yes, that did harm my business.
Okay.
I did go to an expense of making my porch unair conditioned and heated so that I could accommodate smoking because I made it back screen.
Okay.
That helped.
So you had to make an adjustment.
Yes. I did it for various other reasons other than just the smoking. But I feel like I was one of few.
Several.
Well, no, one of few restaurants that tried to accommodate the smokers and my old customers. Yes, there are people that I don't see come in my door that used to come in there for lunch anymore. For lunch. You know, they would like to sit at the bar. I mean, my restaurant was non-smoking from once I expanded that in 1990 or 91. But I wanted it kept in the bars. But that didn't happen.
Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. And by the way, you certainly were a pioneer, Sam, in the alley. No doubt about that.
Jane Page Thompson, thank you all for giving us this opportunity. I have four things that I'd like to say. First off, I'm going to quote our governor. Last week, the South Carolina Policy Council had an event where he came and spoke, and he said, whether it's a fee, a license, fine, cost of doing business, it's still a tax, and it comes out of the same wallet and the same pool of money. And that's the consensus that small business has. Bureaucratic business doesn't have that sense. They have their fund one, fund two, general fund, the other funds. So they never perceive the taxpayers' dollars as coming from the same wallet, because in your budgetary process you put it in different funds, so therefore it's broken down and it looks like it comes from different places. But really, it is a tax imposed on a citizen. And I think that one of the first steps you need to do when you leave here today is to give Roger LaDuc the order to study what economic impact it would have to phase out the small business license fees for the city of Aiken over the next 3 years, so that you can eventually not have that business license fee in the next 3 years. I think that the second thing the city needs to do is to give the directive to change the mission of the ADDA from being the Aiken Downtown Development Association to being the Aiken Development Association, and have that organization represent all businesses within the city. This way, you don't have to appropriate more budgetary resources to have a study or a group or a vehicle or a channel to address these issues for all of the businesses of Aiken. It seems like with the city funding part of the Aiken Downtown Development Association budget every year, that you are leaving out a large portion of businesses in the city without representation, because not everybody chooses to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. So I think that the city should redirect that mission of that organization. You can do it very simply. It won't cost you any more money, and you've already got the personnel in place to help champion businesses going forward. It's a budget-neutral proposition, Roger. The city should also realize that the Chamber of Commerce doesn't represent all of the businesses in the city of Aiken. And when you call upon a organization to give you advice on the way businesses are proceeding or the way they're working within this community, I think you need to call on the Small Business Alliance. You need to call on other people that are out there, because right now you are using, and I quote this because I know it's the only organization that was given a direct invitation to come today, an organization that really doesn't represent small business. They represent corporate initiatives and large industry advancements. As we know with some recent activity, the small business interests are not necessarily represented by that business organization. The fourth thing is that I believe that whatever group you do form, if you change the mission of the ADDA or if you decide to form an additional redundant organization, that you need to go out and reach out to the professional associations in the community. I see the Medical Alliance has some representation here. I think that the Association of Realtors has some representation here. I don't see anybody from the Home Builders Association, but I do believe that it would be key to have specific members of whatever committee you do form from specific industries. Like you said, you wanted to represent all business classes. Today I see mostly ADDA people here or other people who were involved through the chamber. So maybe we need to reach out. I know this meeting was publicly noticed, but that's the first step. I think going forward you need to make repetitive steps to make sure that even more businesses are included in this process and that they feel welcome to give the input so that we can overcome some of the sort of negative or exclusionary practices that may have occurred in the past because of the perception of the city supporting ADDA and not necessarily a citywide business initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane Payne. Yes, let's see. Okay. Yeah, Mike, would you like to speak?
Good morning. I'm Mike Vasovsky, and I'd like to tag on to what Jane Page has said. In your opening comments and again in the questions and feedback from Mr. Wells, I hear, what can government do? What can government do? What can we grant? How can we form another committee? How can we do all these things to help the small business? And perhaps the mindset needs to be, what can we undo? What can we free them from? What ordinances, what tree, what sign thing can we undo? Don't form another committee. Call an emergency meeting amongst yourselves. Go through the ordinance book with a red pen and say, this one we can do without. Even a temporary moratorium on one thing or another to free people up, so that they can do what they want to do, so that they can plumb and build and provide medical care. 3 years ago on the south side, I decided to add another procedure to offer my patients. So I got a temporary yard sign. I stuck it out on the street. I should have known better. Within 48 hours, I get a threatening letter from the sign policeman. Sign must go. So I obligingly took the sign down. But there was some care that was not provided. There was some tax money that did not come in because of that. So think of this more along the line of what can we undo to free these things up. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike. One of the purposes, the main purpose of this particular meeting, and it's been stated several times, Mr. DeWar said, we want to know what your concerns are. Okay. But the other purpose of the meeting was trying to determine, at least to move forward on a path where we could determine how can we better communicate together. Now, certainly we would get to those things that you're talking about, but we need to, again, and we won't do it this morning, I don't think at all, but we need to decide how can we organize so that we can get the words and the concerns from small business without just one-on-one, you know, different groups coming to us. It sounds pretty simple in a way. We have 12 or so committees in our city for different things. Park committee, airport committee, and on and on and on.
and they work very well. There are concerns about those specific areas. They come to that particular committee. Our committees work very well. Now, if we want to need a small business community, committee, fine. If we don't, if there's other ways, then that's what we want to hear. We've outlined three different approaches to it. So if there are other approaches, fine. But we have to have that conduit, I think, of discussion and the ability to hear these things as a group, hopefully, not just... You know, it's pretty hard. If one person wants this, one person wants that, one person wants this, one person wants that, we will never get everything that we want either, and no matter what business we're in or anything like that. So all I'm saying is it seems to me, it's certainly up to the folks how we want to go and council how we want to go, but our smaller committees do work well. And I suspect, I know we have people sitting in this room that are on one of our committees or... at least on one of our committees, and that seems to work. And I know committee is a bad word in some places, but I happen to think that they work very well in this city. But that it can be some other way if there's a better way of communication. But somehow we do have to get together and not this one on just keep. One group will say one thing, one group will disagree, they want something else, and we have to have some kind of consensus as we go forward, I think, on what we want to do, how we want to do it, what kind of forum we need to do that. And I think we can get there. Yes, Sally? Huh?
That's all right.
It goes with the job.
It does.
Actually, I'm short.
Okay. How's that?
That's good.
Is that good? Now, actually, I want to commend you for listening to one of my children to put together this forum to listen. And I absolutely agree with you. I honestly think that the forum from the small business, you know, a group, not an ad hoc. I've served on ad hocs, and it ends up being, as you said, everybody's issue, I think, rather than a conduit to where we're all trying to get. I'm going to ask a question, and I probably should know this, but I don't. Do you all have a central email address where citizens email whomever is on the other end of that computer their concerns?
Yes.
Okay. What was it, like Aiken dot something or other?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would suggest maybe that, and this is just off the top of my head, business community have a separate, if we've got a business issue, let's have a different email address for people who sign up, I mean actual business people like me and small business, whoever, for to be on this email mailing, you know, you'll listen to these people because you already know, number one, they exist, they're not going to rant and rave, they're going to have something productive to say to you, and one person on your staff to assimilate this to the council members. That might help. You know, I don't know. It's just an idea I had as I was sitting there listening, because I do. Yeah, any more email is, you know, it's quick, it's fast, and it gets there. That was one of the questions that I had. And I also did say, I heard a statement that the chamber doesn't represent small business. Well, the Chamber of Commerce does. And I sit on that board, and I am a small business, and there's lots of small business people there. You know, we can't do everything for everybody. And if small business does not participate, then they don't get a voice in what's being done. You've got to go, you've got to participate, and you've got to say, you know, you've got to in order for your voice to be heard. Other ideas to set up the communications. All right, there were the ad hoc committee, the business commission. What was the last one? There was something else.
The incentives for landlords and things.
Yeah, but those are just things. What we're trying to do is develop. As I understand, we're just trying to develop a path to get there so we can discuss these issues.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's...
One of them was focus groups, Sally.
How does this work here?
Well, what would actually happen with a focus group is, we would actually have a facilitator for the meetings.
Yeah.
We potentially have four or five set meetings, maybe through invitation and bringing in different business owners of, from different sides of town into each of those meetings, and then brainstorming, coming up with things that we do not need or things that would be beneficial. And then out of those five meetings, the facilitator then would bring that back to maybe an ad hoc committee that looked over, went through those, and then brought those issues to council. And then by doing that once a year, you know, you're getting different business people into these meetings each year. You're getting different, you know, the different ideas, different feedback being brought back to city council.
That sounds like a good idea. I personally think that you probably need that as well as a business commission, because you've got, they need a regular, once a month, sit down, let's talk about it. What are you getting? Because more people can get to them and then pass it on. That's just my opinion. But thank you for listening.
Thanks, Alan. Thank you very much. That is an advantage of being a committee. They do meet regularly. And if you don't have anything to discuss, then you don't have to meet. We have some committees that might just meet twice a year, you know, because of the nature of it. This committee might meet every 2 weeks or so, but it does seem to me that that would be the good way to go, and you could have representatives from various that would have to be decided who would represent what groups and how many groups and those kind of things, but that could be worked out. Yes. Is anyone back there that hasn't spoken, or over here on the right?
Before we leave from the left facing us, I want to cite Steve Mueller, because I've heard comments from that. Steve wanted to expand his business hours because he was trying to help his business survive. And we received calls saying that if we go beyond, it was all music on the outdoors, spring, summer months. If we go beyond 10:30, then it was going to create problems with noise. Three blocks over Park Hayne Avenue. Meanwhile, the people right across the street from Steve never complained, and the street below him. So you have to look at the ordinance that we created, whether we impacted people because they felt that the noise was keeping them up beyond 10 o'clock, or the survival of Steve's business. So as we look at, although we, one of the issues that was brought to us was tax related, this has opened up so many items that we're going to have to visit, because just as the tax issue is important to some, Steve's survival is important to him. The smoking ordinance is important to some. Windows and doors and those requirements are important to them, to those individuals. So there are so many things that folks are requesting that I'm receiving calls, and as I stated earlier, we're asking to review those ordinances and undo those ordinances related to trees. We had Dr. Taylor on Highway 1 who was stretched out and had to plant a lot of trees based on someone coming in and raping the land of trees, and then we asked her to replace those plantings. She was stretched pretty thin, but with doing that. So all this is coming out in terms of the things that we have created in order to protect the city and encourage people to come here. Folks are saying these are not so good, let's undo them. So just wanted to make you aware of that as well.
Okay, good point. I think one back there. Who? Okay, and then David, you'd be next.
I'm Todd Lista. When you make all these ordinances up and things are really good, and for the most part, I think they are good, and we need to keep a lot of them. But at the same time, there needs to be a very common sense approach, and then we need to fast track changes. When you're dealing with a tenth of an acre and it looks like the plan's going to work, you have a lot of good people in your departments that should be able to say, yes, I like it, let's go. They shouldn't say, well, fill out this form, we're going to bring it before council. Council's going to look at it, or committee is, and then it's going to go for a little change, which will take 2 weeks later. So just can do, make it work. Should be pretty simple without a lot of changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, David.
Good morning. I'm David Jameson with the Aiken Chamber of Commerce. A couple of points that I'd like to make is that the Chamber does have a membership of 1,000 businesses in Aiken, and more than 900 of them would be classified as small business. Probably all but a dozen would be classified as small business if you use the SBA classification. One thing that we do for small business and for all of our businesses, all of our members, is Gary Allington is an employee of the Chamber that comes to every meeting of the City Council, the County Council, the Planning Commissions of both groups, and then other city meetings as necessary. He's in this room today. And he's our eyes and ears. He's listening for business issues, and he's trying to listen early in the process so that when things come up that need to be discussed before they get to a final decision, we're able to do that. And over the year and a half that Gary has been involved with us, that has helped in many, many ways. The problem is a lot of those things are stopped before they advance, and nobody really sees the positive action that takes place. Between January and March of this year, we actually formed a group of small business owners to talk about issues, to look at things that maybe other communities were doing, both in the private sector and the public sector. We didn't get very far down that path before the group kind of went in another direction, and it was more focused on Aiken at that point and talking about some perceptions that they have about Aiken. And I'd like to tell you two of those perceptions. One is that it's thought that the investment and the risk that small business owners and developers take on a daily basis is not appreciated by the city government. It's almost suspect by the city government. And I think that's a attitude change that needs to come about. It's not measurable, but it's just a feeling, and I think you've heard some of that in the room today. The second thing is a kind of a composite answer that we heard, a composite thought, is the city seems to be far more interested in growing trees than it does in growing businesses. And I think that's a perception that, who knows whether that's right or wrong, but it's certainly the perception that we spend more money and more emphasis on the trees than on the businesses. And that's something that I think we could work together on and make a change. Then we heard lots of examples that pretty well fit in the category of 6 months worth of nitpicky delays before I was allowed to open my business or move forward with a different part of my business, where if I could have gotten open and gotten going, I could have started producing taxes, and I could have got the business open, and it wouldn't have been so costly to me. And some of these delays are causing people to build outside of the city. They just don't want any part of it. So those are kind of composite things that we heard and continue to hear from our members. As far as a step forward, I think it's only fair that because you've got an agenda there and you've got some things on it, the thing that I think would be the most helpful is for the city to go through a process, a listening process, and try to attract a large group, maybe 100 or so business owners, through a process of focus groups. A facilitator that would lead these groups, help, and then not only lead the groups and help the groups communicate well and get to the core of what they're talking about, and then have that facilitator then package all of that information and either bring it back directly to the city council or through a task force to the city council, so that you get a composite of a lot of information from a lot of business owners. And I think from that, some action steps could be created. This is what the public sector could do to make business stronger in this community. This is what some of the private sector organizations like the Chamber or others that have been mentioned here today, these are things that they could do. And I think collectively, this might be just a recalibration to help us all understand the reality of the day. So thank you for listening.
Thanks.
David, thank you so much. I think they're a very good path forward. Others?
Yes,
Liz. I'm sorry?
Ted Bald has been trying to get your attention.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Liz Stewart with Stewart & Associates, a management training consulting firm here in town. I'm here wearing three hats today, which may make me a little schizoid, I'm not sure. But as a business owner, I had an interest in being here today. As the current chair of the Chamber of Commerce, I certainly want to echo David's comments. And thirdly, as a planning commissioner, I was very interested in hearing the discussion today. I only want to make a couple of points, and one is that as a business consultant, one of the first things that I advise our clients is before you create another layer upon layer of bureaucracy, that you first step back and look very proactively at what current processes could be streamlined. And I'm hearing a lot of discussion here that some of the issues may be clearly resolved just by changing how we're doing business and the processes we're using rather than adding a layer. Now, that's not to say that another layer may or may not be necessary, but I would suggest that perhaps it's not the first step. I also think that we're looking at what needs to be undone, and I always have a caution when you throw things out that you may accidentally throw the baby out with the bathwater. We all have a mission to keep Aiken as beautiful and as attractive as possible. The balance is that we don't want to overly penalize businesses, and in particular small businesses. We don't want to pay too high a price for doing that. So my thought would be that we need to really look at this from a different perspective. What do we need to get rid of? What do we need to stop? We need to really be thinking, what needs to happen for businesses in this economy, in this environment, in this community to become successful? We need to look at best practices from other communities. We are not the only community suffering from these kinds of situations. So let's learn from what others have done so we don't reinvent any wheels. Let's take a look at what really is going to, and again, as a strategist, I'm thinking, what is going to create a successful environment? What does that look like? You define that first, and then you look at a comparison to what the existing model you're using is. The second point I want to make is that in just a week, the Planning Commission has been charged by this body to take a look at tree pruning and tree maintenance regulations. And some of the issues before us are to, and please don't get upset, to actually tighten them and to be more restrictive. So I think, you know, we're having that meeting. The public is invited. If you have a concern, there's a forum right then and there that everyone who has an issue with trees and pruning should be present, because we will make decisions about the recommendations that come before council based on the input that we get. And as David far more eloquently than me has said, if you do not provide input, if you are not present, your voice cannot be heard. And I personally want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Good morning. I'm Tad Barber. I knew the longer I sat here, the more I started to get a little fired up. As you know, I in the past have done some development in Aiken and probably have as much of a firsthand knowledge of what goes on in doing that and trying to attract businesses to Aiken. But I'm not really going to get into that. I want to say a few things, and of course my few things went from three items on a list to a whole page, and I'll try to go through them pretty quickly. Some are just some bullet point items. It seems as far as this group sort of coming to be happened when the highway overlay district was being proposed, and the small businesses seemed to sort of rally around it because they really didn't know what they were getting into or what was being put on them. And as a result of that, and thanks to the city council and to planning commission and all those involved, that was the first time I felt like the city government actually listened to the people and got input and actually made a decision to that favored the small businesses in the long run. And maybe this will come back, I don't know, but I want to thank council for that. We can get into a couple of things, but as far as I'm just going to bullet point some things. Planning, I think there needs to be a can-do attitude up there. In my opinion, it seems to be an attitude of let's see how we can stop this as opposed to let's see how we can make this thing work. I've gone up there. I walk on eggshells going up there because I know it's almost like going to court. If I say the wrong word or say the wrong phrase, it's going to kill the whole deal. So I go up there and I'm very cautious of trying to pre-plan it, get some input. But I get a lot of, you know, maybe you're trying to do too much here, or there's too many trees here. What are you going to do about that? And it runs up some expenses. So I just think a can-do attitude is what planning needs. I think the city needs to take back their stance of having so much control over everything. It goes back to letting businesses be a little more in control of their destiny and not so much the government. We see that from the federal level and we complain about it. We see it from the state level and we complain about it, but it's funneled down to the local level as well. I keep hearing what can we do that other places do? Let's look at what other places do. And that's fine to look at that. But there's nothing wrong with Aiken being a trendsetter and doing something on their own, something like eliminating business license fees. Just because everybody else charges it doesn't mean that we have to be. If we don't charge it and we can get along and still be a progressive city the way that we need to be, then other cities are going to come look at us and say, well, Aiken did it, how can we do it? I think this committee that we want to talk about, my first reaction is, I think that's a good idea, we need to have that. And if we do have that, I think that needs to have as much power, I guess, if you want to call it that, at least as much as what the Planning Commission has, and that is the authority to make a recommendation to the City Council, and the City Council take that recommendation seriously and make a decision based on their findings. The other thing is, Dee Dee makes a good point that 50% of the city's budget comes from businesses. I think it would be a good idea to have 50% of all the commissions and committees be made up of business owners. I know the Planning Commission doesn't have a single person who's got a background in planning or development on that committee. Why not? You know, you wouldn't put non-aviation people on the aviation board, but yet you do. That's a requirement. So I think you need to have at least some business people on every single commission. And maybe 50% is too many, but but you need to have more than one or two people. I think you need to listen more and talk less and get less defensive when people come up and make comments that maybe you don't necessarily agree with or you feel like you've been doing the right thing. Mr. Mayor, with all due respect, if I hear you say that we've not raised taxes in the city of Aiken one more time, I'm probably going to throw up. Because I can go back when I moved here in 1989, and I will show you that my taxes from 1989 to today have gone up. Millage rate may not have gone up, but that doesn't mean my taxes have not gone up.
I always say millage rate. That's what we control.
We'll check the record.
Don't throw up.
I think your intention is that, but the reality is if you do or don't, as some of the bigger politicians have said, you may have misplaced some words in there, but I think your intention is correct, but what comes out is that we haven't raised taxes in Aiken. Taxes have gone up.
I have always referred to the millage rate, Ted. That's the only thing we can control. I know taxes have gone up because they have reevaluations every 4 or 5 years.
Again.
And there are other reasons they go up, but I'm talking about what the city council can control.
Okay.
Now, is that clear?
That's clear, but I think if you go back and you check the record, you have said the taxes have not gone up.
Say that again, please.
If you go back and check the record, you will see that you have said that taxes have not gone up. I think you have had some misplaced words, and we can argue about it right now, but that's where you need to listen.
I know what I said, and I know what I meant, and I know what the facts are. That's the key. Let's get to the facts.
That is a fact. One thing I want to do in Aiken, I think, too, is we need to create opportunity for young people to move back here. I've got a daughter who just graduated from college, and she does not want to come back to Aiken. And that's sort of a sad situation. I know when I grew up here, I wanted to leave Aiken. I'm glad I came back because I think it's a great place to raise a family. But I think for young people, for single people to come back here, the impression is there is no opportunity. Unless you work at Savannah Riverside, you can either own a business or you can work at the site. So I think that's something else that we need to do. But I again appreciate you holding this meeting. I think we can get a lot of input from business people, and I hope you take it to heart and realize that we're not here to shoot the messenger so much as we are to try to change the business atmosphere in Aiken for the long run. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ted.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Peggy Penland. I've been in Aiken for 30 years. I moved back here. I'm in the hotel business, the real estate development business, and I'm a general broker, real estate broker. And I did not prepare any comments, but I just wanted to say a couple of things. Of course, when business gets difficult and expenses go up, we have concerns, and we're glad that you're here listening to us today. In my business at the hotel, we collect accommodations taxes and we send those in every month. Of course, we pay property taxes, and that's been a big one to swallow lately. On one piece of property at the guest house, our tax bill is over $20,000. So it's necessary to sell an asset to pay those taxes. When times get tough, like Debbie said, we have to roll up our sleeves, lay off employees, and do it ourselves. So we do three or four people's jobs instead of what we're supposed to do. What can City Council do to help? There are some things that you can do, and I'm glad that we're here becoming aware of that today. One thing that I don't think y'all think about when people come up here or certain issues are brought before you, anytime that something is brought before you that could be competitive with a small business, I think the city needs to think long and hard about things that the city does that compete with small business. I don't compete with the city, but I know there's at least one person in this group who does. As far as accommodations are concerned, the mayor appointed me to an accommodations tax committee a few years ago, and now somehow I'm the chair. So it is our job to fund projects which put heads on beds. And that's good for my business, so I'm happy to serve. But we are working in opposition to an ordinance that was passed here that limits, I didn't realize this because I wasn't here during all that, but the number of tours that can be given of Aiken in the month of April, it is unbelievable. So here my committee is meeting with people who want to put on nice events to draw people to the city, but we can't have groups come anymore. I mean, it's against the law. So it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to do when we're in opposition with an ordinance that the city passed. And I don't think that it was meant to do that, but the reality is that it hurts the city and it hurts the hotels. Okay, the other thing that I heard this morning that I think is great is this idea of the ADDA. Carla does a great job. The ADDA does a great job. And I think that is a wonderful idea to put, if we can, the ADDA over all businesses in Aiken. Because sometimes we, on the south side, feel like a redheaded stepchild, even though we pay plenty of taxes. We don't have these beautiful boulevards that the city takes care of and irrigates and plants flowers on. We've got this ugly bypass. And, you know, really and truly, a lot of business people do fly into Aiken, to Bushfield, and they come down the Aiken-Augusta Highway, then they turn on 118 and they go to a hotel. And they don't see all this. So there's a lot that the city can do to help beautify other places besides the downtown. As far as the real estate development business is concerned, I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but Aiken has a bad reputation. There is such a thing as good development. I consider myself to be a good developer. I've never come up here with this place where I've raped the land and put a bunch of cheap vinyl boxes. I don't do that. But I have heard too many people inside and outside the city say that they will never do another project in the city of Aiken. And that's unfortunate. It's a perception, and it's and there are attitudes that need to be dealt with. Things need to be simplified. It takes too long. And I'm all for smart growth, but what happens in reality is this. If you're a local landowner and you have a low basis in the land and you want to do a development, we are able to do that development in a certain way, in a good way, because we have a low basis in the land. But when it becomes too difficult to do business in the city, the local people sell the land to out-of-town developers who really don't care about our city the way I do. So that's a reality. And the other thing that happens is developers go outside the city because it's easier, I guess. I've never done a development in the county, so I don't have any direct knowledge of that. But the county properties become more attractive, and thus we have sprawl. So I'm all for smart growth. But there needs to be more support of local development, and I don't think that that sprawl is necessarily smart growth. Thank you.
Peggy?
Yes?
Before you leave, I want to add a comment to what you said, to thank you for your comments.
you have a group of people in this town, and I've lived with it for many, many years, that don't want to see tourism in this town.
I know that.
They moved here from other places. The things we had attracted them here, but suddenly everything is wrong. And so they are against tourism, against people coming in, invading the city of Aiken or Aiken or whatever. And so what I think needs to be said or heard is a better education of what tourism brings to this, what that industry brings to this town. And I think that we've done a good job at educating folks in terms of the advantages of tourism, but it's a big industry. It's done a lot of good for Aiken, and there's not a great appreciation for that.
Well, and there's a type of tourism that Aiken can go after, and we're working with this tourism people. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to be in a meeting this morning on tourism, but you're right. But there also are 1,000 hotel rooms in that in the summertime are empty.
Right.
So it's an issue. And you know, like I say, we have 11% accommodations taxes that do a lot of good things around this town. So, thank you, Leslie. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peggy. Okay, anyone else? We're getting close to our time here, and we said we would stop at 10.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to make a comment before Colin speaks,
sure.
And that is,
sure.
We're going to generate minutes from this meeting, and I think that we ought to offer, at no cost, so to speak, even agree to mail it, copies of the minutes to the people that are in attendance so that they can understand what we've said here and what's been accomplished. So we have a sign-up list. If you want the minutes, make sure we have your name and address. And they'll also be posted online at some point. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you. I'm Carla Cloud, Executive Director of Aiken Downtown Development Association, and I'm really just speaking as Carla, though, today, too. And I'm very honored at some of the things that have been said about ADDA and our work. One thing that I have, as the Executive Director of ADDA, have had an opportunity to experience is the fact that we went recently to one of the commissions to talk about an ordinance that we would like to have seen changed. And the first time we were turned down, and I'm going to tell you, I was almost in tears because most of the people on that commission were retirees and were not small business owners. And I know we are a retirement community, and that's very important, but it's almost like on the scale, it's kind of been tilted that way. And I think that's why a lot of the small businesses may be feeling frustration because they don't feel like they're getting valid representation. I mean, certainly you guys have always worked with us, but we had to fight that. And that was one of my concerns is that there really weren't very many small businesses represented on that commission. So I think when you appoint people, you need to be aware of that and think about it. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I just feel very compelled to. Recently, you know, there was someone who made a comment in a public forum about closing the gates of the city, as you talked about,
mm-hmm.
and that maybe we shouldn't close the gates, but at least be careful who we let in.
Right.
Well, that person has recently been appointed to a committee. That saddens me that that's the kind of people we're putting on commissions because I firmly believe we've got Southern hospitality and I want to welcome people to help our businesses, our small businesses in our community. So, and that's being said from Carla. I don't want anybody to think that ADDA had me come up here and speak that, but because I personally experienced that, that's something that's been on my chest. I was almost sick to my stomach mm-hmm. when that remark was made. So, but just think about when you're appointing people to these different commissions and all, you know, are you fairly giving the small businesses, you know, their equitable representation? Thank you.
Very good point. It's been made before, and it's a very good point.
Mr. Mayor. Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I know we're just about out of time, but I wanted to say that just listening here and making notes of all the comments that were made, that I think we probably have some things that we need to talk about as a body, just among ourselves. But I do hope that we do not leave today without setting forth a path forward for the people that took the time to come out this morning. And I knew that an hour and a half would not be enough time to air out everything and that everybody would not get a chance to speak. And so just briefly want to encourage us in the next few minutes to go forward with this because today is not going to cut it for a lot of people. I am particularly interested in making sure that we do contact young professionals and make sure that they are included in whatever discussions that we have, because I think it's crucial that we make it good for our young people to come back home when they want to come back home to work. And I really would encourage that greatly. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly.
Yes.
Somebody forgot their pen. Debbie Nix again. Before we close, I feel compelled, again, to thank everybody that's included in this today. But I also feel compelled to tell you who we are, because I don't know that that's really clear. We're the people that work long hours. We lose our retirement when we have a downturn like we just had. We cut our health insurance to the bare bones because we don't have the income to continue it. We are accountants in our own business. We wear many hats. We're doctors, we're lawyers, we're counselors. We hire, we fire, we contribute to our community. We work long hours. We are pioneers. We are cats that can't be herded. We all have an entrepreneurial spirit, and is what I believe this country was founded on. We are the backbone of this town. We are the backbone of this country. We are 10%. That's who we are. The other 90% work for the government or large corporations. Yet we are the backbone. We are 0.5% of your base. We won't be marginalized. We're upset, not just with you, with the state, with the federal. We are being hit. We have big targets on our backs. We are upset enough to become awake, enough to start attending the meetings, enough to say, we are not asking, we are telling you. You need to start listening to small businesses. The fact that we haven't been heard, the fact that we haven't been included, is part of our fault, and we understand that. Aiken is a wonderful place. I love it here. I would never want to go anywhere else. But there are other places that they don't have a business license tax in the state of South Carolina. And I will tell you something else. I just got a really ugly letter from Lex Kirkland about our tax returns. Let me tell you about that. You leave it up to us to tell you what we do in the city and what we do in the county or other counties. So I can bring you my tax return, and it could have $1 million on it, and I could tell you $700,000 of that went in the county. It makes no sense. Allow us to have a letter from our accountant. He does our taxes, the IRS trusts him. But to bring our tax returns is wrong. I'm going to keep hounding on that until somebody hears me on that. It's not your business to review our tax returns, not you personally, but in Lex Kirkland's office, it's not their business. And I'm not so convinced that our information doesn't get out. That's it for me. Thank you.
Debbie, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, there's a lady that's been in the back that's had her hand up 3 or 4 times.
Where's that?
All the way in the back here. Yes, in front of.
Yeah, come on. Katie?
No, she was sitting there. She's sitting there next to you. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Was it you that had your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay. He's had his hand up a number of times. I've noticed that to speak. So.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all. I think this has been a great session. A part of it's been a great session. Part of it's been ideas. But I think it's at least getting the conversation going. And as far as the path forward, what I would like to see is that there are no easy answers to this. It's going to take everybody rolling up their sleeves and working together. I mean, it's a national problem, it's a state problem, it's a city problem, it's a county problem. All these things work together. But until we sit down and really look at everything and all work together, nothing's going to happen. But I think Aiken is the best city in the state. I think our citizens think that from a standpoint of living here. I think we can be the best business city in the state. When I drive through South Carolina, going to Clemson, going to Charleston, going to wherever, every town seems to look almost the same to me. They're all trying to get a charming downtown. They're all trying to manage the growth on the outskirts where all the national chains are coming in and everything. I think a lot of the ordinances are made to manage those large companies. And the reason we're having to manage them so much is because they're the only ones that can afford to get through our ordinances. So if we change our mindset that small business is what drives jobs in the city of Aiken, we don't have any land zoned in